All right, welcome to episode number six, Habibi. Seven. Number six.
Seven.
This is number six.
No, we did six.
Oh, my gosh. It's number seven.
I told you, those drinks were very strong.
This is episode number seven. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm surprised you guys are still stuck with us.
I know.
And tuning in, if you haven't been tuning in, we're on YouTube, we're on Spotify. We're also on Apple Podcasts and the Android market, too, as well. So we got quite a few followers now.
And us on the Motorola phone.
And the Motorola phones, yes. Yeah. So I am Hector Garcia. This is Samer Nassar.
I missed you all.
The Habibi. The Habibi. Who and what it's all about right here. We just came back from a fantastic lunch at
the Cucha. Cuba Libre was amazing.
Yeah, Samer had about four or five Cuba Libras.
Cuba Libre. Cuba Libre. I don't know.
Yes, I don't know. I only had one. So
one big one. It was like this big.
But I had a fantastic time at lunch.
Yeah. The way the staff there was amazing. Yes, Augusto and I don't know the other name.
Yeah, I don't know, but it was really nice. Yeah, if you're in Houston and in the Houston area, and if you have not checked out Cucharas, make sure you check them out.
Cucharas?
Cucharas, yeah.
My God, I thought it was Cucarachas.
Yeah, we had a very interesting time.
Yes,
there.
There was a lot of prospect clients. Right. Why are you laughing? This is business, man. It was customers.
So while we were there at lunch.
Next week. They're going to be the surprise of next week podcast.
Yeah. So Habibi
very
Samer. Yeah. He was able to recruit some guest speakers for next week's show.
Very, very interested. Latinas, businesswomen. Mm-hmm. Really, I think we're all going to learn a lot from next week.
And you did some palm reading while you were out there, too.
I mean,
What were you doing to her hand?
I was doing palm reading.
What did it say?
That's confidential.
No, really, what did it say?
Brittany and Jenny, mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Okay, that's next week. That's for the podcast next week. Hopefully they show up and we didn't scare them away.
It's going to happen. I mean, I really think a lot of young Latinas could learn from their experience. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it would be interesting to have them because, you know, they're business women, young, attractive, in constructions and real estate and modeling. And so I really think we all need some role models.
Right.
Like Brittany and Jenny.
And to be fair, I put Samer to a challenge today.
Yes, he said, "Can you recruit this?"
I did not. He was watching.
I would. That was sitting behind me. I didn't even see it.
I did not say, "Can you?"
No, he didn't. You're right. He said, "Go recruit this." He didn't say, "Can you?"
I said, "I dare you."
I dare you. But look.
Right. Look, yes.
Business is business.
Yeah, it's business is business. Yes.
It's todo.
That's it's el verdad. Anyways, the food was amazing.
It's el verdad.
The Cuba Libres were amazing.
Sí. And the shrimp I had was very good.
But yes, and a little spicy. You wanted spicy food, so
I didn't know, but it was really good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
So how you been, Samer?
Very good, very good. Yes. I just got back from Cozumel.
Right.
Monday, mm-hmm. So like a few days ago, it was one of my really, really good friends' wedding in Cozumel. He's from Monterey. His name is Eric Castillo, and his girlfriend, or living girlfriend for a few years, Jordan, she's from the U.S., and they have a beautiful daughter named Renata. Really, I was very honored to be at their wedding, really. But Cozumel, you know, actually, I met so many people,
right,
which bring up something that I really would like to share with everybody. I told you I will share this. I didn't want to tell you, so I see your reaction in real. But this is something will explain what a lot of foreigners, when they come to America, what they're faced with. And I hope that we all, being American, do understand and help. And like, for example, we were sitting in downtown Cozumel, mm-hmm. late at night having ice cream, and then two guys that we saw, at the airport earlier who were happened to be coming to the wedding. I think they're from Dallas, but you know, they look cool, long hair, curly. They look like rock stars.
Right.
I didn't remember their name. So anyway, I had two other couples with me and they were staying at my house. But we saw and said, oh, hi, how you doing? What's going on and stuff? And I got up to introduce myself to these two guys. They're like late 20s, early 30s. And I said, oh, my name is Samer. And he said, oh, hi, Sam. I said, is this your friend? He said, oh, no. This is Dick and Steve. I was like, what? He said, yeah, Dick and Steve. I was like, why would somebody tell me? I said, I'm sorry, did you say Dick and Steve? And then he said, no, I'm Dick and Steve. I said, Dick and Steve. And then all of a sudden, my friend said, no. He said, thick as thieves. Have you heard that expression before?
No.
Have you? Apparently, it's an expression when you say, oh, we are thick as thieves. That means we're very, very close.
Oh.
Like we're like.
Never heard that expression.
Like really close. Right. And I Google it. And actually, there is a song.
But you heard Dick and Steve's.
I heard Dick and Steve. Why would he tell me that? I mean, but actually, his name is Hunter.
Okay.
It's not but even Steve or Dick.
Thick and thieves. Thick as thieves.
So really, if you guys know, if you heard of that expression before, please let us know. But I have never heard it before. But my buddies knew it, and they were laughing their ass off, thinking, why are you saying Dick and Steve? It's really
thick as thieves.
So, you know, that brought up the idea of, like, when I first came to America, there was a lot of things. I remember the first time I saw a sign saying garage sale.
Right.
I was like, why would somebody sell their garage? Really? Because I've never seen a sign saying garage sale or a drugstore.
Right.
Wow. I was like, America is amazing. But I'll tell you something that happened to me.
What's that?
In long time ago, I was like 22 years old. And I was working at a bakery, French bakery. Mm-hmm. And there was a girl that used to come there. I was 22. She was like 28. She was like an older woman. And she was like, oh, okay, you speak French. And she spoke French. So we kind of hit it off. And then finally she invited me to her house for dinner.
Was this in Egypt?
No, here.
Okay.
At River Oaks.
Okay.
The bakery was on Kirby and Westheimer.
Okay.
It's still there. It's called the French Gourmet Bakery.
Yes, I remember that.
You've seen it?
Uh-huh.
So that was my first job.
It's in a shopping center.
Huh? Mm-hmm. That was my first job. So this girl, finally, she invited me to her house. She was beautiful. She was like 28. I was 22. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And in River Oaks, which is an amazing place. And I go to her house. I'm dressed really nice. And I go there. And we're sitting. And she had a very nice dinner. And then she sat on my lap. And we start making out. And then she whispered something in my ears that I've never heard before. She said, do I turn you on? At that point, I didn't know what it means. And I had only like 1 second to reply, yes or no. And I don't know what it means. But the only thing I could think of, that means, do you want me to turn on the lights?
Right.
Because maybe she thought I was shy. I said, oh, no. And that was it. She got up and she said, I think you should go home. I had no idea why. Things were going well. And I go home to my brother and I tell him the story.
Yeah.
He didn't help. He asked me, are you stupid? I said, why? She said, you don't know what turn you on? I said, like turn on the light or turn off the light?
Right.
I said, no, don't turn on the light. And that was the end. So really, basically, when people come from other countries, there's a lot of simple things in America that we think everybody should know, and we don't.
Right.
I remember the first time, also, I was like 21, 22. I was in the Galleria watching I was by the ice skate, the place, what do you call it? The
skating rink.
The skate rink. And there was also a very nice looking girl, and I didn't have any friends, and I was trying to talk. And I said, oh, where do you live? She said, oh, I live in BFE. And I was like, do you know what BFE means?
Never heard of it.
No way.
What's BFE?
Do you know? BFE has been bum fucked Egypt. Yeah, and I didn't know that that's what it means. She didn't know I was from Egypt.
But have you heard that?
No. At that time, I've never heard that.
Yes.
But she didn't even know I was from Egypt. And I was like, But I think it's an expression mm-hmm. when you live somewhere far in the middle of nowhere, and like Timbuktu, or
sure.
And I said, "What does BFE mean?" She said, "Oh, it means bumfuck Egypt." I got my feelings really hurt because I was like, "How did you know I'm from Egypt? And why would she say that?"
Right.
And I left, and I told my brother. And again, he said, "Are you stupid?" I was like, "No, but I really don't know what BFE." So it's really important to understand that when people come from other countries,
right.
there's a lot of things that's very basics in this country that people don't understand.
Definitely a misconnect on things.
Yes, like people don't understand what does that mean or what's up. The first time I heard what's up, I was like, I don't know.
The sky.
I don't know what's up, you right. know. So it's really important to be patient.
Right.
To educate new people, not make fun of them.
Sure.
Because...
Yeah, you're always making fun of me.
Well, now, because you know what I'm talking about. But actually, really, I'm right. serious.
Yeah.
And that helped me
yeah.
in my job when I hire people, especially people not from this country. I always ask them, do you know what that means? I didn't take it as a given. Everybody should know. Because sometimes we don't know. Obviously, look, you were born here. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what BFE means.
No, never heard of it.
Right?
Never heard of it before.
Or I mean, you know. So
like when you were in Cozumel, that one guy that said that quote to you at the seafood restaurant.
What? He said, oh, yeah, well. Right, that he was, said,
I never heard of that before. No, and we asked the waiter
nice.
Today.
That was not nice.
We asked Augusto today what that meant. He didn't know what that meant.
Yeah,
he was from Mexico.
Because I think it's something they say only in the South.
Right.
Like I was trying to speak to him in Spanish, a young waiter, mm-hmm. and he refused to speak to me in Spanish, and he wanted to speak in English. And I said, no, solo Espanol, because I want to practice, really. And then he walked by me and kind of like said it from, you know, very quiet, pelané. Pelané or pelaná, I think, which I knew that it means something really bad.
You already
bad.
Heard of that phrase before.
Somebody had told me what that means.
Right.
And I got really upset because why would you do that? And then I used every dirty Spanish word I know toward yeah. him, which probably some of it means, oh, you're a little girl or something.
Right.
I don't know. But I used everything I can just to hurt his feelings and let him know that I know Spanish. Mm. But anyway, so it's really, what I'm trying to say, it's really important.
Well, there's a cultural
patient.
Also difference from, you know, even us in Mexico too as well, or us in different countries where there is a cultural disconnect there that we might not understand. Like, for instance, in Japan, mm-hmm. they're very strict on things as far as their cultural,
yes.
big cultural difference. Have you been to Japan before?
Like when I was maybe 18 as
oh, wow.
part of the national karate team from Egypt.
That's right.
You were I was there for like 2-3 months for training.
You were a karate champion and went around the world. Yeah, this guy right here. Yes. You don't want to mess with this guy.
Well, now I have a gun, so I'm yeah. I'm much better now.
Don't want to mess with the Habibi. He's a international karate champion.
But I can't really say that I've been to Japan because it was very confined
yeah.
to just training, and they take it very religiously.
Yes.
You know, it's a very structured sport.
Society. Well, also Japan's very, the society is very by the book.
Yeah. Like, it was not for fun.
Right.
It was like to learn.
Like here in the United States, the word, like if you say, if I call you stupid, estúpido, it's one thing here.
Yeah.
But if I go to Mexico and call somebody Mexican, or somebody that's in Mexico, estúpido, that is like a very bad curse word.
Yes. Right? Or even here, when you say pants, mm-hmm. in other parts of the world, they say trousers.
Right.
Or mad, here it means you're upset,
yes.
but in most... The rest of the word, it means crazy.
Right.
If you tell somebody, are you mad? That means you're crazy. But here it means you're angry.
Right.
Or trousers and pants and, you know. So it takes a lot of learning. I remember the first time I went to a drive-thru bank. Mm-hmm. I was like 21, 22.
Right.
And I got out. It was with my sister-in-law. I was maybe a week after I came to America. And I was trying to go to deposit, open an account. She took me to the drive-thru. I didn't know what's a drive-thru. So I got out of the car and I went to the teller at the window and I had to reach up really high because they were sitting and right. I was trying to give her the money. And then my sister-in-law said, what are you doing? She said, no, this is a drive-thru. So it is really
right.
something that all newcomers to America
have to deal with,
go through. Sure. And I just hope that we can all be just a little bit more patient.
More patient.
Yeah. And support them. We can laugh about it. We can, but just treat them nice. Because for me, it didn't bother me.
Right.
But for somebody else, it could probably be an issue. It can make them say, I don't want to be here anymore.
Right. And then they just, well, some people actually are, I mean, we could be pretty rough here. You know, there's trouble with people in Mexico where people from America are moving to Mexico and the Mexicans are getting upset about that.
Yes.
You see about that? Where the Mexicans are saying, go back to your country. It's crazy because that's a big thing here where some Americans are known, racist Americans, where they're telling Mexicans, go back to your country. And now Americans are moving to Mexico. The big influx of, especially Mexico City or the coastal towns like Cozumel or Puerto Vallarta, where a lot of Americans are moving to, the Mexicans are not liking, the natives there are not really liking that Americans are out there. And it's causing an increase in the pricing and the economy is changing.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I've been here for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. I've never felt discriminated against. Never.
What about after 9/11?
Never.
Never.
But you know why? Because I didn't allow it to enter my mind.
Right.
But has it happened yet?
Yes.
Like, for example, I remember my ex-business partner, Anise, mm-hmm. and I were at Subway on the Katy Freeway and trying to order food. And there was another lady. She was an African-American lady. And she thought for some reason that I cut in front of her or we cut in front of her. But we really didn't.
Right.
There were two servers behind the glass thing. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, my God, you guys are ridiculous. You should go back where you came from. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, go back to where you came from. That was like 4 years ago. Okay, I've been here for like 36 years. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but it's 3 o'clock. Going back to Katy is going to be very hectic right now. She said, no, go back to your country. I said, ma'am, I'm
She really
Katy.
Told you that?
Yes. She said, go back to where you came from.
Right.
I said, well, at 3 p.m., the traffic is really tough going back to Katy. So what I'm trying to say is don't allow anybody to make you feel discriminated against.
Yeah.
Because when you allow it, it's going to happen. But when I take it as this person is just ignorant.
You know, I've seen where, you know, a lot of people from here are like, who not really experienced other parts of the world, they'll say that America, United States, is racist. It's a racist country. But they haven't visited other parts of the world.
Every country has their own racism.
Yes. And I've seen where, I'm talking about Mexico, is that I've seen Mexico where Mexicans are very racist. Like, they could be very, like, you know, as far as race and skin color. And it's funny because here in the United States, it's, you know, they usually go, it's usually like they're saying the white people are usually racist against blacks. When I usually see, it's mostly Mexicans that are racist against blacks. And, you know, and that's where I see the, you know, where it's like people are truly racist. There's racism versus each other. But if you go to other countries, it's worse. It's far worse than what you experience here.
Yes. I mean, in Egypt, for example, mm-hmm. where I grew up, there is no color mm-hmm. race, really. Like, you see a black guy with a blonde girl or a white girl, you don't actually see it.
Right.
You don't even know that. It's nothing like you see a car. You don't. It doesn't get your attention. But there is this, it's a class race.
So it's like
if
economic
you're poor or rich. If you're poor, you don't mingle with the rich. In America, you go to the grocery store, everybody's the same.
Right.
You don't know who's rich, who's poor. Look, America is an amazing place, really. But there's always room for improvement.
Absolutely.
That's normal.
Yes. Right.
But look, America is the land of opportunity.
And we talked about that today at the restaurant when we first walked in, is that how proud we are to, you know, show, I mean, at least in Houston, where it's such a melting pot. Like, you feel like in the one area, you feel like you're in Mexico City. Another area, you feel like you're in different parts of the world. Like, we have so many cultures right here in our own backyard. It's hard. Like, I just don't see how anybody could be truly racist here, living here, at least in Houston. But you know, it's incredible. Like my kids, they go to a school where it's very diverse. And a few years ago during Hurricane Harvey, my kids go to a school called Summer Creek High School, and their other like sister school, high school, is Kingwood High School. And during Hurricane Harvey, the other high school got, and it's mostly 80% white, right? And my kid's school is about 50-55% predominantly black. Well, the Kingwood High School, which is predominantly white, got, it was totaled during Hurricane Harvey, had like 7 feet of water. And so what they did was, for a whole year, the kids from Kingwood High School had to share, they all went to my kid's school, the high school. And so my kids went to school 3 days a week, and they split schedules. Like in the morning, it was Kingwood High School. In the afternoon, it was a Summer Creek High School. So they had to split schedules. No problems. Everybody was able to adjust, and my kids were very supportive. Like, hey, whatever it takes to make sure that our community is taken care of, whether they're white, black, Asian, whatever it is. Well, HBO comes in and does a documentary. It's all over HBO. You can watch it. And HBO does a documentary about the racism in Houston, Texas, about how there's racism after Hurricane Harvey, where a school was split in half by a white and black culture. And that was never happened. Like the kids, yeah. Like my daughter who was there, was like, this never happened. Actually, we were all very open to this. But however, the media made it out to a huge thing, did a whole documentary on making something out of nothing. And that's so sad. I think the media, the media in our country actually empowers himself by causing a divisiveness, by causing division. There's power in keeping people just segregated. And so it's crazy to see how the media, you know, kind of creates some type of false narrative that's out there. That's not true. Like you'll watch CNN, you'll watch MSNBC, and everything is racism. Everything. You watch it watch how they manipulate you. And if you sit there and watch it all day, and if you actually believe it, you'll end up believing.
Oh yeah, it's like brainwashed.
Yeah, you're becoming brainwashed, and you'll end up believing that we live in a racist country.
But it's also about ratings.
But when is the last time have we, like myself, I deal with people all day long. I have very rarely dealt with racism. You? I mean, you just that one time in Subway?
Look, if I look back, I would probably remember certain incidents, right, where it was probably I experienced, mm-hmm, but I refuse to think about it.
Right.
Because I don't allow it to reach me. Because I'm telling you now, after 40 years being in America, I've never been discriminated. I don't think, I don't feel it, I don't believe it. Even if I see it, I will not believe it.
Yeah.
Because once I believe it, I'm going to act this way.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think people, if you believe that there's racism and believe that you're going to end up responding that way and living life in that manner. We had a situation where the ex-employee here at the company who was fired, and for over a year he was saying he was fired because he was black. When he was actually fired.
I am really sorry for him.
He was actually fired. He was fired,
yeah,
because he decided to 24 hours before letting us know, he decided to go to California last minute when he was in the middle of a big project. Forgot that, right? It was, the skin color has nothing
really
to do with
it. I really feel
bad
for him, but I want to ask you something. Yeah. And I want to ask everybody something. Maybe I'm saying that and somebody's going to say, well, you're just very naive or something. Mm-hmm. But do I believe, let me ask you, mm-hmm, if you have two candidates for the same job,
yeah,
one is white, one is black, okay, and they're both the same level of experience, or which one would you hire?
If they're both level of the same experience?
Yes. Which one would you hire?
Well, I would test them. I'll put a test before them. It doesn't matter what their skin color is.
But unfortunately, mm-hmm, there may be some institutions in America or around the world, sure, not just America, that would prefer one race versus the other.
Right.
Or maybe somebody from my hometown versus another. Or somebody from the same school I graduated from versus another. Is that discrimination? Yeah, but that's just how life is. I mean,
right. Like, this, for instance, like there's times and cases where if I relate to somebody more than others, they, like you said, like they went to the same schools, same churches,
for example, yeah,
the same people, then obviously I'm leaning towards hiring them more than somebody else. But
is that not, fair?
Is that fair? Not necessarily, but it had nothing to do with their skin color.
The main thing is me as a candidate, how do I receive it?
If you have not noticed, we are 90% Hispanic here.
And somebody can say, oh, because I'm white, you didn't hire me.
Well, we have two white people too. As
well. Okay, somebody who is Egyptian will say,
I don't have no Egyptians staff.
If somebody
Hanson, are you
wants,
Egyptian? No.
If somebody wants to find an excuse or find a hanger,
they can.
To hang their failure or their excuse or whatever, we can.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I just refuse to see it so I can keep moving on.
Yeah.
I can keep moving forward. I don't want to see
it. Has there ever been a situation where any employee has accused you or anybody else accused you of being racist?
Yeah, I've been accused that we fired her because she was a woman. Mm-hmm. She was pregnant or he was black. Actually, but no, the other one because I was white and the other one because I was Egyptian. Dude, I was born in Egypt. So, you don't like Egyptians because now you're trying to be Americanizing.
Right.
But I remember, I tell you what, I remember one time I was visiting Egypt and I was at a shoes store and we're talking and the kid that was working, he was in like maybe late 20s. And he said, I was in New York for like 1 year and I couldn't make it because they wouldn't hire me because I was Egyptian. I said, dude, do you really believe that? I was born in Egypt. I'm Egyptian. I've had the best success in America.
Right.
Because I know one thing for sure. Americans by nature will always make a deal with you if there is a good product.
Now, let me ask you.
They might not invite you to their house.
Right.
But business is business.
Would you hire, say, somebody with the same qualifications? same qualifications, same level of experience. One person was black and one person was Egyptian. Who would you hire?
Well, Egyptians are black, so there's no problem. I will hire whoever shows up first.
Okay. One person was white.
You know
white,
who I will hire?
What?
I will hire the one that I feel is nicer.
How would that, what would be nicer?
Because when we talk,
you let's say you never talk to them. It's just on paper.
I'll hire the one who has more experience or something.
Let's say right here it says John Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And the other one is Muhammad Abdullah.
The other one's Muhammad Abdullah. Who would you hire?
I mean, there is no way that everybody is the same thing. But let's assume...
No, you didn't answer.
But let's assume that each one have different, pluses.
Right.
And different negatives. Look, okay, I'll tell you an example to tell you this is a real story.
Okay.
When the U.S.-Iraq war started,
mm-hmm.
all we saw on the news, it was crazy Iraqi people, right?
Right.
Killing people, killing animals. I actually saw a video on CNN of Iraqi people protesting and killing a live dog. I saw that video. So it made me feel really weird about Iraqis. And I remember one day my general manager, who is from North Dakota, it doesn't get any whiter than that.
Right.
But I love Tim. I love you. I miss you so much, brother. But anyway, he went back to North Dakota. But anyway, he came to me. He said, Samer, that was in the beginning of Iraqis moving to the States.
Right.
And he said, Samer, there is a driver applying or someone applying for a driving position. And he's really nice. I said, oh, cool. What's his name? So he told me the name. I said, that name is not really American, but it's not really Arabic. He said, he's from Iraq. I said, no.
You said that.
Yeah, I said, no, we don't want anybody from Iraq. There's so many bad press about it. They look crazy. We don't want to have issues with our clients feeling insecure with an Iraqi driver. And I'm so glad Tim, the general manager, insisted. He said, no, you are going to meet him. I said, Tim, we don't want problems. No, he's not leaving. You have to meet him. And I'm glad he did. I said, okay. Dude, I met this guy. His name is Hafi. I fell in love with him. He was the nicest guy ever. That was the first Iraqi person I met in real life.
Right.
But all the media put it in my mind.
Yes.
They're crazy. They eat animals that eat dogs.
There's power in that.
The video I saw, yes. He was so polite, very elegant, very educated. I was like, man, I'm glad you, let's hire him. We hired like maybe 20, 30 after that. And I have to say, Iraqi employees, maybe the best employees I've ever had in 31 years. They're so elegant, very well educated,
right?
Very dedicated. Never had an issue with whenever they were leaving, they leave in a very friendly way. Give 2 weeks note. Actually, they say, "I'm not leaving until you can replace me." Really, really. And that was my first lesson, not to believe everything we see in the media. Because according to the media, I always remember that video when they were eating that dog. They showed it on the news, them eating a dog alive. And that was the impression I had about Iraqis. And that is totally far from the truth.
And that is why it's real important that you do your own research, do things on your own, and not believe what you see on TV or online, because some things is just not true. During that.
Yeah, but now when an Iraqi person apply, I always ask him, "Do you like dogs?" No, I don't. I don't really.
Or soup. Do you like soup? Or do you?
No, I don't say that. But I tell you what, every time I meet an Iraqi person, I always tell them the story because I'm apologizing to this person.
Every Iraqi person.
Yes. I always tell them, you know, the first Iraqi person I didn't want to meet.
And then they say, "I don't want to work here no more."
No. Actually, they appreciate that I admit
that you were racist at one point.
No, not racist.
But ignorance.
I admit my ignorance, and I will never forget it because it was not right.
Everybody is ignorant at some level, at some extent. I think everybody. I think we all fall under that, under that category of ignorance. Yeah. You put a false prejudgment.
Ignorance is a blessing. What?
Ignorance is a blessing? I never heard of that. Yes. Ignorance is bliss.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
H and H.
That sometimes, not knowing, because there's a difference between ignorance and arrogance.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Ignorance is just simply not knowing or not being aware, right? And so it's like when we're kids, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know, right? So we're able to be childlike. We're able to,
when you don't know, it won't bother you.
Exactly. Like, it's not going to affect us if you don't know, right? But it's like the more you know, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this as business owners, right? The more you realize, the more you know, the tougher everything gets.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, that's
so now
true.
I stay away from the office. I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know everything.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. When somebody texts me, I was like, "Why are you telling me this? I don't want to know this."
When I come back from.
Thank you, Hanson. By the way, if you're watching, Hanson is our producer, our handy producer. He's a really good guy. You'll be hearing a lot from him too as well.
But every time I come from Cozumel, there's our fleet manager, Corwin. I love him 20 years. Every time he picks me up, I'm coming from such a high and I'm so happy and relaxed. Every time I get with him in the car, "How you doing, Corwin?" "What's wrong?" "Well, this happened, this happened." That I'm like, you know what? Take me back to the airport. I'm leaving.
That sounds like me. That sounds like me every time we meet.
But I tell you what, the weather was amazing in Cozumel.
Yeah.
Seriously. If you've never been to Cozumel,
forget
the cruise ship.
It's
the
paradise.
Cruise ship, you don't see anything.
No, it's paradise.
Really, the cruise ship, you don't even know what port you've been to.
Hanson, have you been to Cozumel?
It's amazing.
Well, soon.
Put a video about Cozumel.
No, but soon, we talked about this. We're going to take you and we're going to Cozumel and we're going to do the podcast out in Cozumel. So
yeah, but now he wants me to buy a more expensive Wi-Fi.
I did.
Can't you do the hotspot?
No,
I don't know.
You can't do hotspot. It's a hotspot.
You can do hotspot.
How hard is it, Hanson, to take this equipment to travel?
It would be the easiest thing. I mean, it's definitely.
You just need to buy two cameras and that switchboard, right?
Yeah.
See?
Really? That's easy.
I mean, you don't need the Wi-Fi for that, do you?
No.
Man, that would be
amazing. We could be on the beach doing this.
That would be really cool.
Power.
Well, yeah. I mean, that could be like maybe where we ride the minivan.
So in 4 weeks, Eva, you're watching. We'll be Samara's idea. We'll go in May. We're going to do a podcast on the beach.
From Cozumel, Mexico.
Yes. So
from
everybody gets to experience.
Quintana Roo. Roo is the state.
Yeah, and maybe we could actually invite some locals to talk to as well about their experience
absolutely,
living there.
Yeah, and your Spanish is horrible.
It's bueno.
Do you speak Spanish, Hanson?
Sí.
Muy bueno. Qué bueno.
No, so we're excited about that. We'll be planning that in the next couple
weeks. We have to.
We
really have to. And I really encourage anybody that's been. Look, there's a lot of beautiful places around the world. But what makes Cozumel special, first of all, it's very close. Mm-hmm. An hour and 45 minutes.
Right. There.
Second, which is really first, the people are so sweet. They're so nice.
Right.
They're happy to work. They're happy to host you. They're very appreciative of the fact that you're going to visit their beautiful island. And that's what makes it different than many, many other places.
Right. No, it's a credible place. I've been to many different beaches in Cozumel. Nothing has beat Cozumel.
But
by the way, if you're watching, there is a fantastic place for you to stay at. Make sure you search stay at casablanca.com or Casablanca Cozumel. Look it up, Google search it. It is a beautiful house, beautiful palace there in downtown Cozumel. Four bedrooms. How many square feet?
5,500 square feet.
5,500 square feet.
It's a small place.
And it has a pool. It's a palace.
And there is a housekeeper. Her name is Corina.
Oh,
she's amazing. She cooks and
incredible.
Clean.
I've asked Karina to come with
but
me.
But that's all she does. She's very, very nice.
Yes. But anyways, make sure if you're looking for a place to go, look up Casablanca Cozumel. There's a
Just call me. We'll work it out.
Or message us.
But, you know, like to me, when I go to Mexico, it's kind of like meditation. Mm-hmm. Even the 3, 4, 5 days.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I come back with so much energy, ready to work.
And you come back and you see me and I'm like drained. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to deal with this guy.
Why do I have to see him? I want to do the podcast with handsome. No, right. But you know what? I met some of the most interesting people there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Canadians. There's a lot of Americans. They live there now. Because, you know, I just saw an article.
You know, the last couple of years, I started making friends out there, too. Like, there's people that follow me, and we interact on social media.
They
follow you? Yeah.
You wear nice thong bathing suit, I know. No wonder.
Nice.
Now you told me that makes sense. I had people knocking on the door. Is Hectorito there?
Hectorito?
Yeah, is that what he said your name? I said, I don't know any Hectorito. Is that what he said your name?
Yes, that's exactly what they know me as in Cozumel.
Hectorito.
But no, I mean, I walk down the island, I'll be walking and people will recognize me too as well.
Yes.
So it's really very close community, very small.
That's because you look like Fidel Castro.
There you go.
That's why they think they know you with the beard.
Yes.
And stuff. No, I mean, this is the good thing about Cozumel, it's such a small island. If you go more than once, it becomes home.
Right. And they'll remember you.
And the diving and the snorkeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, scuba diving and snorkeling and fishing is amazing.
It's not like
Want to hang out. I mean, Christmas, you're wearing shorts and T-shirt. Santa Claus wears shorts and T-shirt.
Yes.
So it's just good weather, good food,
all the time.
Good people.
Right.
I really love it.
And then you have the parade and
we
carnival.
We need to work on that. Yeah, the parade is in February. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be in the parade?
Yes, we have our own parade float.
We're going to have a float?
Yes.
And
float
the float is
going
to say Brand Nation.
Brand Nation Excelsior, yes.
For real?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, the parade is amazing.
It's a whole lot of fun.
I had the most fun. It was really nice.
That I've ever had in a parade.
But yeah, if you like fishing, if you like snorkeling, if you just want to go hang out and just be free.
Right.
You know. So, no, I really like going there. And it's an easy trip from Houston to there. It's just an hour and 45 minutes. So when are we going?
In a couple weeks.
May?
Hanson, what's your schedule look like?
I'll figure it out, but it should be free.
Okay.
But it's a paid.
He's an employee.
He has to get paid.
Well, he does get paid.
Yeah. It's not part of his vacation.
That's part of, that's quite a good little paid little trip for you. Yeah.
You just, when we go there, you just have to go get us beer. And, you're getting paid, you better work.
He wants a cabana boy. That's what he wants.
Yeah, like you take the umbrella, put it on the beach. He's like, I'm going with Justin. I'm leaving this
cabin. I'm out of here. So last week we were talking about, you were asking me some questions about...
what would you do if... I mean, look, there is a lot of, like, for example, one of the things that always come to mind, what if you're somewhere and you're driving your car and you just brush against another car.
Right.
Not big damage. Would you leave, or would you leave your business card? Would you leave your phone number?
I got.
Or would you just say, no, okay, whatever?
Okay, so true story.
Has that happened to you?
Yes. I've.
You left. I can see it in your eyes.
What do you think?
Left without your phone number.
What do you think?
No. Knowing you, you'll probably either wait for them or leave your phone number.
Okay. I was at Top Golf. It's a golfing place here in Houston. Me and my sons were there. And I had just bought my truck. And I'm not used to my truck has a lift. So it's a bit higher than normal. And I pulled out of the Top Golf, of a parking spot there at Top Golf in Spring. And I pulled out of the parking spot and I felt the truck kind of lift up over something. And I thought I hit somebody. I thought I ran over somebody. It was my second week having the truck.
And you left?
No.
Okay.
I told my son, I said, what was that? Please tell me it wasn't the person. He goes, no, Dad, you ran over a car.
Huh?
I ran over a car next to me. It was like a mile.
You ran over a car?
Yes, I ran over a car.
Like you went over the top of the car?
Yes, because I turned too quickly. Remember,
Like a tank?
Yes, it's a tank. You see my truck. It's a tank. Yeah. If it's tall and there's a small little Mazda Miata next to me.
And you went over the car. You didn't even feel it?
No, I felt it. Okay. Remember, I felt it. I felt it and I heard it. And I sat there. I was like, crap. The guy's in there at Top Golf. He's, you know, I could easily take off and nobody would ever know, right?
No.
But I didn't do that.
Because your son was with you. You wanted to teach him a good lesson, right. But if he was not there.
No, because there was cameras everywhere. No, but I said, you know what? The right thing to do is just, I'm going to put out and I'm going to put my note, put a note on the windshield. I did. And their car was pretty messed up.
But what if it wasn't really that big of a...
I mean, it could have been
just a little scratch.
A little small, like a small, how big of a
like
scratch?
Like a little scratch. Just barely.
You know how many times I banged my door against...
Yeah, like if you open it, you would have stopped.
No, get over
but
it.
But to put a dent in somebody's car.
The guy lost his front hood and his...
No, no, that's very obvious that you would leave.
Right.
No, I mean, very obvious you would stay or leave.
No. If it's a small dent, what's the big deal? I mean, how many times people have done that to me?
Yeah, but
I'm not gonna make a big deal of somebody. You know, have to deal with certain insurances like that.
Okay, what if you see somebody doing it and taking off?
I mean, they did it to me.
I mean, how big was somebody did it to somebody else?
I think it just depends on the damage.
Not big deal. Just a scratch in the door. It would need paint.
If it needs paint, if there's money that's involved,
and you see the person left, would you chase him? Would you take the license plate?
No,
nothing.
No.
You would not do anything? You would not wait and tell the other person, hey, I saw who did it?
No.
Why?
It's not my business. It's not my business.
I am very shocked.
Really?
You come across like you'd be the one that will stay and say, hey, I saw that person doing it.
No, but if somebody did what I did, you know, and I ran over a car, that's different.
Yeah.
But if it's like a small scratch, it's not my business. I try to stay out of people's business.
If it's not your business, eventually... It will be your business.
Why?
When somebody else does it to you.
Well, yeah, if somebody else does it to me, that's different. But I'm not, again, I try to stay out of everybody. I got my own problems to deal with, let alone try to be somebody else's part of somebody else's drama. I don't want to be involved with too many different things.
You know, that brings to my mind an incident that happened many years ago. Mm-hmm. I was driving on Eldridge and traffic was really heavy. It was raining. Come to find out that there was a car stalled at the light. And so many cars passed by it. And nobody said anything except I see people waving and
getting
flipping
mad.
The finger. And then as I was driving, I saw this car with a girl, maybe in her 30s. And she was totally knocked out. Like she looked like she's asleep.
Right.
And nobody did anything. So I parked. And I go there and I look and I knock on the window. She does not respond. And the car is on drive. And her foot are in the brake. And I look in the back seat, there was a little baby.
Wow.
In the car seat. And I
kept... That's different.
Now, if her foot slipped off the brake, that car will go.
Yeah.
And who knows what will happen at that point. And I kept knocking on the window. She is out. And I noticed on her arm, both arms, so many needle sticks. Mm. So maybe she was... diabetic or maybe drugs, I don't know. But I called 911. I called the police, and they came, and they broke the window and got the baby out. And I was wondering, how many cars
That's different. You said something scratched on a car.
Yes, but...
But that's different. Somebody knocked out, passed out in a car is different.
You would stop.
Yes, I would. You know many times.
But what I wonder, why do other people don't stop?
The other day, I was here driving down, right here in downtown. There was a homeless guy passed out. I thought he was dead.
And what did you do?
I honked the horn.
You hung the horn?
Yes, he was right there at the bus stop. Like, he was just like passed out. Like, I thought he was dead. And I was stopping traffic. No, I kept honking the horn until he got woke him up. But I was about to get up and wake him up, but I honked the horn because I didn't want to get up. I didn't know if, you know.
Yeah, but you see.
But I'm saying, like, but I did, but everybody else was driving by. Yes,
this is my question is like.
But I probably woke him up. How really many people? He looked like he was sleeping really good.
But how
many? He was sleeping very good. I need to sleep like that.
He was sleeping better than me. Was the guy from Cozumel?
That guy was a hard on.
He did?
No, he didn't. Oh. This one didn't.
But you see, I wonder why, how?
I think people
I'm sure if you didn't see it, I understand. But if you saw it, why don't you stop and help?
I think so many people, again, they have the mentality it's staying out of everybody else's business.
But people were getting angry at that girl for sitting at the red light and it turns green and
it goes back to ignorance. I think it's
I don't, it's very difficult to understand.
It's like
human behavior
also, like I've seen so many videos, I'm sure you see it too, but I see it every day, where there's an incident happening and the first thing people do is get their phones out instead of helping.
Yes,
they're recording.
Yes,
and they're
yes.
getting all that, but they're
instead
not
instead of just helping, getting out and helping. And yeah. then you want to record right. But just do something.
That's human nature, unfortunately. And not many people would be able to do
something. I just feel like if you don't do anything, someday you will need it and nobody will do anything.
I hope that you're not recording me and I hope you're helping me.
I am helping you right now. Right now. Just don't challenge me. Don't challenge me.
Hans is giving us the finger.
You did? Which finger?
He is said it's time to wrap up.
Like, wrap up? Or
it's
like,
time to wrap it up.
Well, F y'all. Which finger was it?
He said it's time to wrap it up. Okay. That'll do it for episode number seven.
I feel this one was very relaxed.
You only had like five Cuba Libres. So
I keep hitting the mic.
You try to deep throat it.
Okay, give him the finger.
Anyways, that'll do it for episode number seven of the Habibi Show. Thank you guys.
I can't wait for the
in.
Next one.
Yeah, the next one.
I hope we have the host.
Don't break the test.
I know. I hope we have the guests.
I hope we didn't scare them away.
No. But,
until next week, make sure you guys tune in. They're on YouTube, the podcast, and all the channels there. And until next week, I am Hector Garcia.
I'm Samir Nassar.
The Habibi right here.
Thank you all.
Stay blessed.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I love you, brother.